Hey, let's give Alabama a hand. Come on, man. Congratulations, Trev. We love you. How many are rooting for Clemson tomorrow? Let's see your hands. Come on. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. Okay. I just say I'm a bad loser. I should be used to it, but anyway, welcome to Cross City. We are glad to have you here, and this is the first weekend of the year, and we're in a series talking about four words. And you know, I've seen a lot of stuff this year about kind of New Year themes and of that point, and articles, and I think there's actually a book that says one word, pick one word and live by that word for the entire year. That's a pretty good idea. I like that. Well, in this series, we're doing four words. We're doing one word a week. And last week, Brent preached a fantastic sermon. I was unbelievable. I actually texted him and said, "You've got to stop preaching that well." And I trust that he will. I kind of believe he will. But a great sermon on worship. And this week, the sermon is on the word the Bible. We're talking about the Bible today. So that's really the word that we're going to stick with and focus in on here this morning. I truly believe that sometimes we finish a year and we feel like we have, you know, we just barely survived. And I don't think God's plan for us. I think God wants us to thrive through the year. Not just get through, not just barely make it by the skin of our teeth. I think 2019, God doesn't want you to endure it, Cross City. He wants you to really enjoy it. I mean, there should be fruit and blessing and everything else. And the one word we're going to look at today is the word word. It's the Bible. And I'm trying to motivate you today to do what the psalmist did about 2,700 years ago, and that is to read your Bible, to look at your Bible, to learn all that stuff that you can every single day of this coming year and every day for the rest of your life. That's what I'm trying to do. You know, I believe the reason that I am a preacher and the reason I am living in the middle of nowhere in Central California and the reason that I am your pastor and the reason that I'm in this thing called ministry, and the reason that I actually gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ when I was a wee little boy, I believe all of that goes back to a habit that I developed as a very young boy. And no, it's not picking my nose. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about reading my Bible every single day. Now, I was a son, I still am, of one of the greatest preachers I think that ever walk this earth. I grew up in that church, and I was so naive. I remember I kind of thought everybody grew up like this, that their dad was yelling and screaming from the pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. But the best part of all of that was not how great my dad's preaching was, and that he read the Bible every day, and I wanted to be like him. But that the best part of growing up for me, the biggest blessing that anyone could ever have was that when they kicked me out of the nursery at about 2.5 years of age, I went in and on a pew, I would sit next to my mother every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. And she was the most beautiful woman, you know, on the planet back then, and she's still beautiful today, but I would sit next to her, I would snuggle up to her, I would actually put my head in her lap, and don't tell Dad this, go to sleep through all those boring sermons. But I remember as my head would be in her lap, this Bible would be basically right on my face or right to the side of it. This in my hand is my mother's Bible. She had it from the 60s through, I think, the 80s. And when she retired it because it was falling apart, I asked her for it. And she said I could have it. And I just want you to know my brothers are so jealous that I have this Bible because she's marked it up. And I mean, it really is, it's one of my prized possessions. And Charles Spurgeon said, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. I really like that. But that's how I grew up. I grew up listening to great sermons, snuggling up to my mother, and watching them both daily read the Bible. That has impacted my life, I think, greater than anything else that I can even imagine. Up here in Manteca this week, Sunday or Monday, there's a preacher, Brian Hunt. And Brian is a great preacher. He's leading a great church up there. I think it's called Crossroads Grace Community Church. Way too many names. They should have just gone to Cross City. But he's doing a great job up there. And he went to a Target, and somebody shot out his lock in his car. Just boom, one of those things, you know, you see in the movies. And they got in his car, and they stole his backpack. And in his backpack, he had earbuds and laptop and some other stuff. But the thing that he's really upset about and went to the news to talk about was that they took his Bible. And he was literally on the news up there. And I have the transcript from what he said. He said, I want that Bible back. I don't care about the computer. I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't care that they get caught. I just want my Bible back. And they said, well, why is it such a big deal about the Bible? He said, I was reading that Bible when my daughter was in the NICU. When she was first born, I read that Bible over her. He said, I took that Bible into nursing homes and prayed with people when they were breathing their last breaths. I was able to do counseling with that Bible. I know it's a book. I can buy another one. I get that. But all those memories are within there makes it what is so special. They said that he was jumping into dumpsters in the area, hoping that whoever took it would have taken, you know, the laptop and just thrown the other stuff in a dumpster. So he was diving in the dumpster. They said, why would you be doing that? He said, I think about what Jesus did for us. I think the least I could do is jump in a dumpster for him. And he closed with this quote. I like it. He said, I think the coolest thing would be is that if a person, whoever has it, would realize there's a Bible in there and open it. And Hunt said, they might read it, and then maybe their life would be changed as a part of it. He said, but the perfect, perfect world is that they would open it, read it, have their life changed, and then give it back. Well, I just truly believe that if I can do what the psalmist did back in Psalm 119, which, by the way, is in the middle of your Bible, and if you can turn to that right now, it'd be great. And I just want to throw this in here, this isn't part of the sermon, and you're probably boo me and not want to listen to the rest of the sermon. But I kind of have an affinity, and I know I'm old school, I have an affinity for actually having a book in your hand. Now, I know the contemporary world, I'm a part of it, believe me. I've gone to places and they said, pull out your Bible, and I pull out my iPhone, and you can go on an app, and there are all kinds of apps. You can just, if you have any service, you can just Google the scripture, and you can go right to it and blow it up, and it can be big on your phone. I mean, it's fantastic. I know that it's not the book that makes the difference. It's not the leather binding, it's not the pages, it's not the print. It's the actual words that are from the Word of God that get into your mind and into your heart. I know that's the important part. But I just gave you a couple examples, A, of my mother, and B, of Brian Hunt, Pastor Brian Hunt, that make the book so precious. And I want to encourage you to actually, if you can, to actually carry a Bible. By the way, somebody told me a long time ago, if you just carry a Bible wherever you go, it'll keep you out of trouble. I mean, if you got a Bible in your hand, it's just hard to get into a whole lot of trouble. And if that doesn't keep you out of trouble, then put one, somebody said, in each hand, and it'll really keep you out of trouble. I mean, you're not going to get into a lot of messes. And what a witness it is to walk into a room and to say to people, I'm not ashamed of this. This is part of my life. This is who I am. This is where I get all the good stuff. I know I can get it up on my iPad and all that stuff in a second. But this, when you carry it into a room, You're making a statement that I think is about as powerful a statement that can be made. Now, I am assuming, and maybe wrongfully, but I'm assuming that most of you in this room believe that this is the Word of God. And here's my main point here today. Assuming you believe the Bible is the Word of God, then why would you not want to read it every single day of your life? Now, if you don't believe it's the Word of God, I get that you probably don't have time. You know, why would you want to read it every single day of your life? So if you're here today, you're a Christian, you're a Christ lover, Christ follower, and you believe this is the Word of God, and you're not in the habit, because it is a habit, you're not in the daily ritual of reading His Word every single day, one of the following things must be true about you. Either you believe your body is more important than your soul, you believe that the material is more important than the spiritual, you believe you can make it on your own, you can do life, you've got all the recipes and everything figured out by yourself, you've learned the hard way and you don't really need it, you don't really need God's help to get through the day, you believe that what God has to say is just not that important, it's just not that big of a deal. I'm sure many of you are like, preacher, none of that's true about me. Well, if none of that's true about you, then why wouldn't you pick it up and read at least part of it every single day of your life? If you believe that what God says is a big deal, if you believe you really can't make it completely on your own, if you believe your soul is more important than your body, why wouldn't you get into this every single day? And I'm going to give you 3 points today. They are so simple. And yet I believe that as in all four of these words we're giving you, that if you will put them into practice, I don't mean just listen to them, if you will apply them, translation, if you will do these four things we're telling you, last week worship, this week get into the Word, if you will do these things, I promise you it will change your life forever. You'll have the best year you ever have had in your life. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I don't care what negative thing happens to you. If you will do these four things, you're going to have the greatest year you've ever had. And I don't mean casually. I mean be committed to them, step out in faith, and just do what we're asking you to do. I'm trying to do today what the psalmist did about 2,700 years ago, and that is to motivate you, to inspire you, to fire you up so that you would walk out of here and say this, you know what? I'm not going another day. I'm starting today, not tomorrow. I'm starting today to develop the habit of reading God's Word every single day. That's what I'm trying to do for you today. I'm trying to motivate you. I'm trying to recharge your batteries. I'm trying to get you to plug in. I'm trying to get you on fire for the Lord through the power of His Word. I want to tell you before we get to the first point that in your bulletin we have a Bible reading plan. And if you take this, you can read through the Bible. What the plan is you can read through the Bible in about a year's time. And it's got the different passages and it's got the dates. And I know it's already, I don't know what today's date is, the 5th or the 6th or something like that. But you can start on there and end on the 5th of next year, or you can try to make up those first few or four days. But we'd love for you to take this out of your bulletin and commit to that. We also have this old school thing back in the racks out here. I've introduced this about every other year for the last 15 years, trying to get you. You can just read about 3 chapters a day, or you can read... and I think it's 4 on the weekend, 4 on Saturday and Sunday. Any chapters anywhere, and it's got a square for each chapter. It's kind of fun to mark it out and say, well, I've done something today. Wasn't a lot, but I read 3 chapters, and I can read 3 chapters tomorrow. And look, folks, this doesn't take an hour out of your life. It takes a few moments. Somebody sent me a Facebook message last night. I didn't read it till this morning, but they said, man, that was a great sermon, and I want you to know that's how I got started. I started reading the Bible about 5 minutes a day. And Now I'm reading about 30 minutes a day. Can't tell you what a difference it's made in my life. So number one in your notes, I want you to write this down. Look at the Bible. Number one, look at the Bible. I want to tell you quickly, this book is as useless as any other book in the history of the world. If you do not open it and you do not look at it, you do not read it. I don't care what book you have on your shelf. It could be the greatest book ever written, fiction, nonfiction, historical, non-historical, the greatest history book in the world, a business book, a leadership book, or even a romantic novel. If you don't open it, and you don't read it, you might as well not even have it, because it's absolutely useless, and the same thing is true about this book. Folks, we have more Bibles in more homes, we have more Bibles in more hands, but we've got less Bibles in less hearts than we've ever had before. Even a majority of people who claim to love the Lord and follow the Lord and believe in this book, there's so many of us, we are spiritually anorexic. We are malnutrition, because we're not feeding every single day from this book. The psalmist says in verse 18, "Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law," in your book. Oh, the psalmist says, "Open my eyes." In other words, if I don't open my eyes and look at it, it does me no good. And I can't tell you the price that's been paid for us to have a Bible. I'm not going to go through the history of it. But a lot of resources, a lot of lives, I'm telling you, it is amazing that we have just such easy access to this book, and yet we spend so little time and determination in trying to get in there and uncover what the Bible tells us is a treasure trove of truths in there. It's like having a treasure chest of gold and silver, but we just look at it and go, "There it is. Yeah, there it is. It's wonderful." Why? Well, we're not going to open it. We just want to look at it. We just want to put it on the coffee table. We want people to know we have one, but we're not going to actually get in there. Listen to me, there is not a day in your life that you do not need to hear from God. You need to hear from God every single day of your life. There's not a day that passes where you can just say, "Well, I don't need to hear from Him today." That's not true. You need Him every single day. And let me tell you why. The best place to be is in God's presence. And the best way to get into God's presence is to get into His Word. And you're not going to get into His Word unless you open up your eyeballs and you look at it. Look to the Word. I love in the Old Testament, by the way, this Bible really is falling apart. But in the Old Testament, there Israel was going through some changes, and the nation, they determined one day that they came to this resolution that they wanted a king. Now, the problem is they had a king. Israel was considered what we would call a theocracy, and that is, God was their king. That was how He set it up. That's how He wanted it. But they came to God, and they said, "You know, we don't mean to hurt your feelings or anything, but we're envious of the other nations. They all have a king and a throne and all this ritual stuff." And they said, "That's what we really want." And they said, "That's what we really want. We want a king like the other nations." And God said, okay. "If that's what you really want, that's what I'm going to give you." But He said, I'm going to give you a stipulation. And most of you have probably never read this. In the Old Testament, you can read this in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17. This is what God said. "You want a king? I'll give you a king. But here's a little thing I want you to follow." He said, when he takes the throne of the kingdom, Deuteronomy 17:18, he is to write for himself, think of this, on a scroll, a copy of this law. You know, what's the law? The law is the Bible. That's all they had. They called it the law. I want that king, if he's going to lead the nation of Israel, If he's going to take my place, essentially, that's what you really want. You're probably not going to end up liking what you really want, but that's what God does sometimes. He gives you what you beg for, sometimes even when it's not in your best interest. And he gave them a king, but he said, what I want this king to do, I want him to take it and write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. And then I want him, verse 19, I want that to be with him every single day. And he says that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully the words of his law and all of the decrees. And so I want you to think about that. God said, you can have a king, but here's what I require. He's got to write down part of the law every single day. He has gotten to, furthermore, he's got to carry that with him every single day. And furthermore, I want him to read from it every single day. Imagine if we did that to the President of the United States, probably not a bad idea. We said to him, look, we want you to take the Constitution of the United States and we want it to be with you every single day. What we'd really like you to do is to copy part of it, just write out part of it every single day. And then we want you to take that with you, maybe in a little notepad. We want you to take that with you every single day. And then every single day, we also would like you to open up and read what you wrote down that day. He said, what's the point? The point is, if God would say that to a king to lead the nation of Israel, to be in control and to be in charge and to be the right kind of king, how important do you think that would be if you would apply that to your life, where you could write down part of it and take part of it with you and read part of it every single day? Don't you think God would want that for your life so that you could rule your own life the way that God would want you to rule your own life? I promise you this, if you will make a commitment to get into this book every single day, you maybe not the first day, maybe not the first paragraph or the first few chapters, but if you'll commit to it, I promise you the day will come when stuff will just start jumping off of that page into your heart and into your mind. It won't be long, and there'll be a bunch of what the Bible calls precepts. They will jump into your head, into your heart. Principles will jump into your head, into your heart. Practices will jump into your head, into your heart. The promises will jump off the page and jump into your head and into your heart. I promise you this, it'll enhance you, it will enrich you, it will enable you to be better than you ever thought you could be, to do more than you ever thought you could do. It'll take you places where you never thought you could go, and it'll make you happier. I'm telling you, it'll make you happier than you could ever imagine. I've told people this, and they look at me like I'm weird, but when I read the Bible regularly and faithfully, which I do most of the time, I just feel extra protected. I feel blessed. I use the word lucky. I just feel like everything goes my way. When I'm in the Word, and that's my priority of the day, and when I'm not in the Word and it's not the priority of my day, I don't feel that way. I literally feel a difference. That's just me. That's just my own personal testimony. And I believe that's what the Bible is saying here. You've got to look into the Word. And number two in your notes, you got to learn from the Bible. It's one thing to look, it's another thing to learn. When you quit learning, you quit living. Let's say that together. Can we say that together? When you quit learning, you quit living. One more time. Let's wake us all up, okay? Ready? You want to stand and say it? No, I know you don't. When you quit learning, you quit living. You ever heard the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? That's why they're old dogs. You won't be an old dog if you're willing to learn new tricks. That's why people grow old so quick. They get settled. They're not interested in something new or different. I've learned all I want to learn. I'm shutting it down. Something comes across their way, they're going to think about it for 6 months, and then they still can't make a decision because they don't want to keep learning. So they quit living. That's how it works. We got a bunch of college kids who are going to graduate in May. We send them off every year, 10, 20, 30, 40 seniors, and they go off to college and they think, man, I'm glad to get out of here. I'm glad to get away from this place. And then, you know, they come back on break or they come back after a few years and they realize, you know, Fresno's not so bad. Mom and Dad really do love me more than anybody else on the planet. I'm figuring that out. No one preaches like Pastor David, to be honest. And partying is slightly overrated, and they come back, and some of them come back, and they get back involved, and they get back in the church, and they get back into ministry, and we just love that, and we're building this building over here, and we just believe we're really focusing on the next generation, that they're going to go and learn and come back and put it into practice. That's our goal. That really is. We want to make more and better disciples, and especially of that age. But I know in May we're going to have some graduate all over the United States. And some are going to come back on fire, and some aren't even going to come back to California. Some don't want anything to do with this. I had one parent tell me that they think that when the kids graduate from college that school is out. I've got news for you. When you graduate from college, school just starts. You think you quit learning, but you never quit learning. Because when you quit learning, you quit living. The psalmist says this in verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. That means righteous is a double meaning. It means, number one, it's true. Always tells the truth. Number two, it's always right. It's never wrong. Basically the same thing. And this is the book that you can go to find all of the lessons, all of the answers. I tell people, I don't have any answers. I do not have one answer to one problem, but all of the answers are in this book. You can go to this book and find out how to be a good parent, how to be a good friend, how to handle your enemies, how to manage your money, how to be a good wife, how to be a good husband, how to raise wise children, how to deal with conflict. How do you deal with the storms of life? It's all in here. They worked 2,000 years ago, they work today, and they will work 2,000 years from now. These truths are relevant, they are life-changing, and they not only teach you how to live, but they teach you how to die. See, what are you talking about? Verse 33 of this great chapter says, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the what? To the what?
End.
To the end. What do you think that means? Yeah, that's the end. That I may follow it to the end of life. It's not just teaching you how to live. It's teaching you how to exit. Every stage, every phase of your life. You say, well, I'm not thinking about getting old. Well, just wait. You will. I'm not thinking about the end. Neither did I about 20 years ago. I didn't think about death when I was 10, when I was 20. I didn't even think about it when I was 30, but when I got to be about 40, I started thinking about it. And every year I get a little older, I realize that rope is slipping through my fingers faster than ever before. I mean, this is real. It's passing through my hands at warp speed, and before I know it, I'm not going to have any more rope. And every day I look at a newspaper. I mean, every single day there's obituaries. I've never any paper in any city, any town, big, small, large, I've never picked one up and found there was not somebody in there that died yesterday. And one of these days, don't get excited, one of these years, this could be my year, it could be, nobody knows what a day may bring, this could be my year where I check out. And I just want you to know, I not only want to know how to live, I want to know how to die. And friend, if those doctors come in and I'm laying there in that bed and they say, this is interesting, your initials are DR, are you a doctor? No, I'm a preacher. much more important and valuable to society than a doctor. Oh, they say. Well, your middle name is Neil, so your real initials are DNR. That means do not resuscitate last time I looked. Is that your request, beloved pastor? No, that's not my request. But if I'm literally on my way out and a doctor says, hey, we've done all we can do, you better get your accounts settled. You better say your goodbyes. There's not much time left. I want you to know, and I'm not ashamed to say this, but getting my accounts in order will not be number one on my list. Saying goodbye to friends and family will not be number one on my list. What number one on my list will be is I'm going to want to hear from God one more time. I'm going to want to hear from the one who designed me, who made me, who created me, who gave me physical life, who breathed into my life nostrils, living air and breath and spirit. I'm going to want to hear from the one that's watched over me every single day of my life, every single breath I've ever taken, every single heartbeat of my life. I'm going to want to hear from the God who's made all these promises. I want to hear from the God about the life to come. And you may think that's not you and you'll never be there, but I promise you, if you ever get to that place, that'll be the number one thing that you'll want to hear. You'll want to hear from the God who made you. Now, a lot of believers, listen, I believe this, they kind of stop right here. They open their eyes and they look and they learn. And some wonderful people even memorize a few key verses here and there. But a lot of us, if we were honest, we would have to say, but I've still never had real victory in my life. I don't know what the problem is. And the problem is this third and final step. It's the most important step. And that is you've got to live out the Bible. You can't just look and you can't just learn. You've got to actually live it out for it to make a difference. The psalmist says in verse 9, I love this, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? First of all, let me say a couple of things. If anybody thinks the Bible isn't relevant, they're not reading it every single day. Nothing could be more relevant than this verse written 2,700 years ago. Don't you want your kids to grow up in a good way, in a holy way, in a pure way? Don't you want that for your kids and your grandkids? If you got any sense, you do. And so the psalmist says, how can this happen? How can a young person stay on the path of purity? I can't think of anything more relevant. The answer is very clear. He says, by what? What's the next word? By living. Not by looking, not by learning, but by living according to your word. That's why James, the Lord's brother, writes in chapter 1, he says, do not merely listen to the word. Listen to what he says. So deceive yourselves. Do what it says. He's saying, live it out. Don't just look at it. Don't just learn some principles. Live it out. He says, if you don't live it out, you are deceiving yourself. If you're just going to open it, you're deceiving yourself. If you're just going to look at it and learn it and memorize a couple verses and you don't do anything about it, you're just deceiving yourself. You're not really plugged in until you're living it out. There's a professor in North Carolina. His name is Dr. Bart Ehrman, and he's pretty famous. He's written a bunch of books. They're selling like hotcakes. James Merritt tells this story that he was a Christian at one time. He was a Christ follower. He went to two conservative colleges, I think a theological school at Princeton. I didn't know that even existed now. But he went to that, and when he got out of it, he was basically an agnostic. He had totally turned. And he doesn't like preachers, and he doesn't like evangelicals, and he doesn't like people trying to tell people about Jesus. And he's one of these smart guys. He relates to all the millennials. They all love him. And he's got a minimum of 300 in his class, and you got to sign up a year early to get in there because he's just that popular. But he's written several books, and one of the books, he literally describes how he starts every single semester. And this is how he starts, according to his own book, how he starts every class. He goes in and he says, how many of you, and there's at least 300 of them, how many of you, so what he's saying to his class, how many of you would agree with the proposition that the Bible is the inspired word of God? And he said, whoosh, about every hand goes up. It's in North Carolina, a good school, and a lot of kids raised the right way, and they all say, yep, we believe in the Bible. We believe it's the word of God. We believe it's inspired. We believe every word is accurate. We, yes, 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 yes. And he says, then he asked them, how many of you have read one or more of the Harry Potter books from the beginning to the end? Boom, just about every hand goes up in the class. Boom, 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 boom. And then he asked, how many of you have read the entire Bible from the beginning to the end? He says, there's usually 4 or 5, maybe 10 hands in the whole class that will go up. And he says, he begins to laugh. And he begins to say some things that I think are very intriguing that I want to share with you. He says, I'm not the one that said God wrote this book. But he said, if you're telling me that you think God wrote the Bible, I can see why you maybe would want to read a book by J.K. Rowling. But if God wrote a book, why wouldn't you want to see what he has to say in it? That's a pretty good question. Folks, we are living in a day, an age. It may not seem believable to you, but more people are actually reading Harry Potter than they are the Bible. More Christians are reading their newspaper than they are the Bible. We're reading more of the Inquirer and People magazine and tabloid news on the internet than we are the Bible. If you believe that God actually wrote the Bible, why wouldn't you just say today, today is my day. I don't care what's happened in the past, but today is the day I'm going to read the one book that tells the greatest story that's ever been told about the only Savior who came to take care of our greatest problem the world has ever had by conquering sin, by conquering death, by conquering the grave, so we could have the only life worth living in this world and in the world to come. Why not start today? Why don't you fill that energy bank up today? I mean, you want to connect. You want those prongs to get in there and to go, and that electricity to hit those things, and whoo, man, the fire. Gonna go through your whole body. If you'll make that connection, if you'll plug in, if you'll make a real decision, yeah, you're going to worship the God of the universe. He's given us that ability. But you're also not going to let a day pass without picking up his, what we sometimes refer to as his love letter. Imagine you've got some hot boyfriend, girlfriend, they're overseas, and they've written you 20, 30 letters, longhand, in great detail. I mean, wouldn't you want to get into that shoebox every now and then and just be reminded of all of those principles and promises and love notes? I'm telling you today, this book as it's done for me, it will give you more wisdom on how to live, how to die, how to get through each day, each trial, each problem. This book will save you more heartache. It will provide you with more encouragement than any person or any group or any support system that you've ever come across. This is the book that has all of the answers. And I'm just challenging you today that maybe you'd be somebody who would say, you know what? I'm going to spend time every day in the Word. We have in your bulletin, like I said, we have this. We have other reading materials in the racks, in the lobby. We also have in our wonderful app, and I'd encourage everybody to have that app. You can hit a button and the Bible just comes right up. It's easy to find the right place. There's also reading plans in there when you go to the Bible app on our app, on our own webpage and everything else. Everything is at our access. We have so much ability. We have so much in our fingertips. The only real issue is, are we going to take advantage of it, or are we just going to go down the path of everyone else and find at the end of the day, well, you know what? We just don't have enough time to hear from the God of the universe. I've got to watch Nightline. Friend, it doesn't make any sense. Decide today you're going to put Him first. Decide today you want to be in His presence. And the best way to get in His presence is to get in His Word. That's my encouragement for you today. We're going to stand, we're going to sing, and if you have any decision to make, boy, we'd love for you to step down here to the front. Let's stand and let's sing together.